We're going to be going to a very familiar passage in the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 100. Praise the Lord. I welcome you to stand for the reading of the Word. Good to see Sister Drew and Brother Dennis here. Sister Drew has been down south visiting with family, and both of them had a lot of miles here lately. Good to have them back home. Praise the Lord. And he's probably got more miles to go over the next week going back. Praise the Lord. And if you're a visitor, we want you to feel welcome here to sit today. We really do. Appreciate you. If I start naming different ones, I'll miss somebody. Psalm 100. If you love the Lord, say amen. I want us to read this together in concert in an audible voice. As we look at this passage, what we are going to be talking about is going to come right from this text. So it's just five verses long in this chapter. So if you're there, if you're turning, or maybe you're clicking, maybe more people are clicking nowadays than turning on their media device. So however you're there, hopefully by now, Psalm 100. Let's read it together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And we say amen to that. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the rich truths that we can take from this Hebrew hymnal. I pray that you would just take our lips and speak through them, our minds this morning, think through them. And Lord, we just love you and love the fact that we have gathered here to give thanks. Oh, hallelujah, to give thanks unto the Lord. He is a great God and worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, just take a moment. Just give him some praise. Just give him some thanksgiving. He told us, enter his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving. Wonderful is his name. Go ahead. Wonderful is his name. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where would we be without you, Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You've saved us. You've blessed us. You've kept us. And Lord, we've come to give you thanks. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise your name. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Lord. Love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated in his presence. We're just going to title this Thanksgiving in the Hebrew hymnal. This week I was thinking there are certain sayings that seem to mark this time of year. And I know I've said them, maybe you have as well. Sayings like, I'm going to behave myself this Thanksgiving and not eat too much. I don't know about you, but I always still do. Or we say things like, I'm going to stick to my diet. We never do. One commentator said the two biggest sellers in any bookstore around Thanksgiving are cookbooks and diet books. The cookbooks tell us how to prepare the food. The diet books tell us how not to eat any of it. But how many can say Thanksgiving's one of your favorite holidays? I can say that. Really, it is. I look back and I think what a privilege it is to live in a nation that has a holiday dedicated to giving thanks for all the blessings that we enjoy. all of us have so much for which to be thankful. The freedom to worship here this morning as our faith dictates. We all have places that we call home, people to love, people who love us, and with every heartbeat, every breath, how many know all these things are gifts from God? According to James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen. What a blessing to live, to love, and to learn about a God who loves us enough to rescue us from our sins. Thank you, Lord. Now, before I get into the text, let me maybe create a little framework for this idea. I want to use an illustration from history. Sarah Hale was born in 1788, and she among other talents, was a poet, and her poem, Mary's Lamb, which begins with Mary had a little lamb, became so universally known that history says Thomas Edison used those opening lines when he delivered the first speech ever recorded on his newly invented phonograph, which we know as the record player. You know, that machine that spins vinyl discs before the CDs. But Sarah became the editor of a couple different magazines for women, and she used her influence to argue for the end of slavery. And she also appealed to several U.S. presidents to set aside one special day for an annual day of national thanksgiving to God. And after decades of persistence, Abraham Lincoln was the president who finally agreed with her request. Lincoln actually seemed the most unlikely candidate to launch a national day of thanksgiving because it was a time in our American history that no one would have been interested in thanking God for really anything because the Civil War had been raging. But Lincoln proclaimed it so, and the first observance was, history says, in 1863, right in the middle of the Civil War. And by the way, President Lincoln's proclamation included these words I thought interesting. Let me quote. He says, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to observe a day of thanksgiving and praise to our Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up statements of praise due to him for blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience." In other words, Abraham Lincoln wanted Thanksgiving Day to be nothing less than a day of national confession and revival. And since that time, every president has proclaimed Thanksgiving, a national observance, on the final Thursday of November. In fact, the role of each sitting president included a special Thanksgiving proclamation, I think they say, for the last 175 years. However, it's interesting that one year, they say, Thanksgiving was actually celebrated in December. Simply because President Andrew Johnson forgot. He forgot to make that annual declaration. And the truth is, I read that and I thought, we as a nation tend to resemble Andrew Johnson more than ever before. And as far as our world is concerned, Thanksgiving is just kind of a speed bump on our way to Christmas, right? If anything, Thanksgiving is a day to shop or get ready to shop, not necessarily to give thanks. And really, it shouldn't surprise us because according to, I think it's Romans chapter 1, one of the chief characteristics of a digressing culture is the growth of ingratitude. And it's interesting that the mark of a godless culture is revealed in their attitude as much as in their actions. Paul described a perverse culture as a people who refuse. They refuse to give thanks. And he writes, "For even though they knew about God," Paul wrote, he says, "they did not honor him as God, nor give thanks." And maybe that's why it is a distinctive attitude among believers to be thankful. And even more, Paul commanded every or the early believers there in Colossians 3. He says, "Be thankful. Be thankful." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be thankful. Be thankful." Don't overlook the fact also that the Lord himself modeled that for us. And at a time of great crisis, in the hours leading up to Christ's brutal crucifixion and the agony of his separation from the Father and basically the stench of becoming a sin offering for us, in the middle of that, right before all that, he took bread and wine, didn't he? The elements that would remind the church for 2,000 plus years, remind us of his suffering, remind us of his crucified body and his shed blood. And he took those elements and represented all the agony and all the suffering, and he held them up to the Father, and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. So you think about that. That's kind of like a surviving Jew if he was to go back to Auschwitz and stand in the courtyard and give thanks. That'd be like a parent going back to the intersection where a drunk driver took the life of their child. And they go back and they give thanks. I don't know about you, that's kind of tough. It's like a man or a woman going back to the cancer center where they first heard the news of their terminal disease. But they go back there and they give thanks. It's like a country being ripped apart by death and division, but stopping for a day right in the middle of the Civil War and finding something whereby they can give thanks to God for. You say that's unnatural. Yeah, I agree, right? It is unnatural because it's supernatural. The truth is, we have to be taught to be thankful, and we need to be reminded why. Because we're a lot like Andrew Johnson. We tend to forget. Just so many things going on, we tend to forget. So that's why I want us to go to this passage here in the Hebrew hymnal, the book of Psalms. Literally, it is the book of praises. And Psalm 100 is the only psalm designated as a public guide to Thanksgiving. I thought that was interesting. You would call Psalm 100 the original Thanksgiving hymn because Old Testament believers and 21st century New Testament believers, we often have the same two questions about this idea of giving thanks. Number one, how do we give thanks to God? Number two, why do we give thanks to God? So if you'd like to outline in your notes this morning, if you're taking notes, this original Thanksgiving hymn, you can do so with a couple words, because verses 1 and 2 answer the question of how, and verse 3 answers the question of why. And then David repeats the lesson because he knows repetition is a way of learning. And so he repeats the lesson again and answers in verse 4, how to give thanks, and verse 5, why. Okay? And so he answers the first question, how do we give thanks? And I wanted just to break it down in three points, some key words here. And so if you note, I want you to maybe circle or notice the first key words in this first point is notice what he says in verse 1, joyful what? Joyful what? In the Hebrew, it means to audibly shout. Literally, it means to raise your voice with words of celebration. there are verbal statements of thanksgiving and praise to God. So we, this writer is saying, we have divine permission and instruction to interrupt the darkness of our culture, the greed of our culture, with an elevated voice of praise, so that we can be maybe like fireworks that turn the night sky into radiant color. We do that with an audible voice of thanksgiving. Praise God. Now, how many of you have come to church this morning? You're not going to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to do that. I just want you to ask yourself. How many of you come to church this morning and we sang and we praised the Lord, but you did it all under your breath? Now, some of us were wired differently. We can't do anything under our breath. Huh? But then there's others that, oh yeah, they don't want to make a sound. But here, I want to give you permission this morning. Go ahead and make an audible shout of praise. Take a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it sounds good. Lord, you're worthy. Thank God we're saved. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. See there, I feel the atmosphere beginning to change in here. I said, I feel the atmosphere beginning to change. Why? Because we're obeying the scripture. We're giving an audible voice. Hey, you know, it can stay in your heart, and it's good if it's in your heart, but if it never comes out your mouth, I said, if it never comes out your mouth, then the devil doesn't know what's in your heart. But you let him know, I've got praise in my heart, and it's going to flow out my mouth. I'm going to take my tongue, and I'm going to verbalize how good God has been. Praise God. Notice he says, you shout, you make a joyful noise, and then he invites. Notice this. David, as far as he's concerned, he wants all the earth to join in with that shout. He said, all ye lands, praise God. So Argentina and Australia, join in the shout. The Bahamas and Bangladesh, join in the shout. Cambodia and Colombia, join in the shout. Ecuador and Ethiopia, join us as we praise God. Finland and France, Gambia and Guatemala, Haiti and Hungary. I could go on to the tune of about 200 different countries, aka all ye lands. Iceland and India, Indonesia, Iran, Iraq and Ireland, Israel and Italy, Jamaica and Japan. Hey, everything that has breath, he goes on to say in another passage, praise the Lord. Join in this audible shout of joyful noise of thanksgiving. What is the psalmist telling us? He's telling us that thanksgiving to the Lord is not just a thing of Israel. It's not just an American thing. It is the practice of every born again child of God of every land, regardless of their race, their ethnicity, or their color. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give him praise, church. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shout unto God. Make that joyful noise. That's the sound of thanksgiving. That's the sound of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So as you gather around the table with family and friends on Thursday, if it is quiet, then you just kind of remind them. Just remind them, it's too quiet around this table. I think this is Thanksgiving meal. Let's just praise God a while. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So, That's what he told us to do. Make a joyful noise. That's a shout, okay? In the Hebrew, that first key word is shout. Let's go on to the second key word from verse 2 is serve. Serve the Lord. And would you notice it says serve the Lord with what? Gladness, happiness, a joyful spirit. If you happen to be serving the Lord but you're not very glad about it, it might be that you've forgotten who you are serving. Ultimately, we're not serving the church. We are serving the Lord. We are not serving the pastor. You are not serving in this or that department. You are not serving your children or your spouse or your parent or your boss at the workplace. You are serving the Lord if you are a believer. And make a note here that the fact that David doesn't put a period after serve the Lord. There's no period there. He commands us, serve the Lord with gladness. Can you imagine being told to be glad? Sure you can. You've told your children, you better change your attitude right now. Huh? You better put on your happy face. You better quit pouting. You better start smiling or you're not going to get a Happy Meal from McDonald's. Because Happy Meals are for happy children. Hey, right? Where did we learn that from? We learned it from our parents. For some of us, that was before their Happy Meals ever came out. Listen, I've had to say it before. Listen here, young man, you better change your attitude. Remember that one? So that's, we say the same thing. It does have some merit. Because now, as parents, we're old enough to know that attitudes can actually be adjusted. Amen. And guess what? God thinks attitudes can be adjusted too. David does not say, serve the Lord whether you're glad about it or not. He actually says, serve the Lord and be glad about it. You know, our kids get allowance sometimes for doing chores around the house. But we have to remind them from time to time, they only get paid if they do the chore with the right attitude. They have to serve the Jones household with gladness. Huh? In fact, get this, we expect them to adjust their attitude simply because it's our will as their parents. Because we want to prepare them to one day serve the Lord with the right attitude. Because their Heavenly Father is going to expect the same thing. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 5:8, he says, in everything give thanks. For this is the what of God? Will. Evidently, God expects us to adjust our attitude simply because it is His will. Amen. Which means that a thankful heart is not a personality trait that can just be passed down to us. It is actually the act of our will, surrendering to the will of God. You know, by the way, Sarah Hale that we mentioned earlier was always not the most positive person. In fact, she was well acquainted with sadness and grief because when she was 35 years old, she delivered their fifth, I believe it was, and last child. And that same year, her husband died rather suddenly and unexpectedly. And they say for the rest of her life, she wore black clothing as a sign of her ongoing sorrow. But yet she battled that knowing that somewhere along in here I've got to give thanks to God. See, and it was after her husband's death, they said that she she pursued and convinced the president to invite the world to thank God. So may our attitude be that of gratitude, and may we serve the Lord with gladness. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and just give him a smile. Some of you ain't smiled all morning. Go ahead and give him a smile. Good. All right, my third key word. We have here shout. We have serve. And the third key word is sing. David tells us how to thank God by adding in verse 2, part B of verse 2, come before him, that's God, literally, come before his face is the way it would read in Hebrew. Come before his face with singing. Now, a few moments ago, we had the opportunity to do just that. With the congregation of the redeemed, we were given a chance to sing. I want you to ask yourself, how'd you do? Was it joyful? Was it just a chore? Was coming to this service just one more obligation? Or was it an opportunity to praise God? Maybe you're like the one mother's son who asked her one Sunday on the way home from church, said, Mommy, what's the highest number you've ever counted to? She said, Son, I don't know that. What's yours? He said, 5,372. She said, Wow, why did you stop there? He said, Because church was over. Have you ever thought about the fact that one of God's antidotes to ingratitude is singing? Joyful singing? I'm not talking about the blues. If you like country music and singing the blues, you're going to be in trouble. No. So shout joyfully. That's a grateful action. Serve with gladness. That's a grateful attitude. Come before him with singing. That's grateful access. John Phillips, the British expositor, captured this joy when he told of a young boy who was standing in London in front of Buckingham Palace one day, tugging at the guard's jacket, saying, I want to see the king. I want to see the king. Of course, the guard didn't flinch. The policemen were walking back and forth, moving people along. But he stood there and he persisted. He said, But I want to see the king. Can't help you there, sonny. You're not allowed in there. Policeman kept reminding him. And about that time, a well-dressed gentleman came along with an entourage, and he overheard the conversation, and he said, What's the matter, boy? And he said, I just want to see the king. Well, come with me, said that older gentleman, and he held out his hand and took the hand of that young boy. And to his surprise, the police just made no attempt to stop him, and neither did the guards. In fact, the guards sprang to attention and presented arms while the policeman unlocks the gate. And then in they went, and right into the presence of the king. And the little boy had taken hold of the hand of the Prince of Wales, who was the king's own son at that time. That gave him access. Church, that's our privilege too. We have access to the Father. Because I don't know about you, but I'm holding to the hand of the Son. Hallelujah. And as long as our hand is in His hand, we have access into the very presence of the God of the universe. I don't know about you, but that makes my heart want to sing and rejoice and shout and serve with gladness, saying, Thank you, Lord. Why? Because I can come into the very presence of the King. Okay. So now David answers the question of why. Why do we thank God? And it's as if David says, Don't you know? Verse 3, the Lord Himself, He is God. In other words, He is to be praised, not just for what He does, but because of who He is. He is God. How many know that's enough? Well, what kind of God is he? Well, David describes him further down in verse 5 saying he is a good God.
Hallelujah.
See, you got to understand the framework of this text, because in these pagan lands, they had all kinds of gods. I was in Taiwan, served for 3.5 months as a missionary, and I noticed they had all these gods, and one of them was the red-faced god. He was this god that, I started to make that face, but you'd laugh. He was just full of anger. He was a red-faced god. No. David says, our God is a good God. That red-faced God in Taiwan, he was also known as the warrior God. He was always carrying a sword. He was ready to fight. No, our God is a good God. And notice as you read on down, David says, his loving kindness is everlasting. In other words, he won't change his mind. He won't forget his promises. And notice further down, his faithfulness is to all generations. In other words, generation after generation after generation after generation, he remains the same. He is not fickle. He is faithful. Praise God. We thank God because of who he is, but that's not all. But we offer thanks to him not only because of who he is, but because of what he's done. Take a closer look at verse 3. It is he who hath made us, not we ourselves. In other words, God is the creator. He crafted us. You know what that means? You and I look precisely like he planned for us to look. He crafted you and I inside and out, quite literally. He wired you, wired me, gifted you, gifted me. We will not be able to joyfully praise God until we accept the fact that God made us according to his divine plan. Every ability we have, every disability we have, was premeditated by God. He gave us all the strengths we would need. He gave us all the weaknesses we would need. Our strengths would bring him praise. Our weaknesses would cause us to depend on his power, not ours. He made us, and better still, he is still making us into his image. Hallelujah. Paul's told the church at Philippi he's going to continue to do what he's begun until the day we see his precious face. Praise. So, by the way, he's not only made us, but notice what it says. He plans on keeping us. That's the next phrase. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I'm so glad David didn't write, we are his people and the stallions of his stable. We are his people and the eagles soaring in his heavens. No. We are his fearful, timid, helpless, prone to wander sheep. But here's the good news. We're not just any sheep. We are his sheep. And he cares for his sheep like no other. There is no better caretaker than our Heavenly Father. Give him thanks right now. Would you do that? Give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As the musicians come, the devotional book entitled Springs in the Valley tells of a man who found a barn. This is an allegory. Tells of a man who found a barn where he said Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown into the human heart. The man found that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than any other seed in that barn or warehouse. He said there were bags of the seeds of discouragement stacked up everywhere. And he began to ask around. He said when he did, he learned that it was because the seeds of discouragement, the little imps told him, would grow almost anywhere. And he went on to question the little demon, and he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Explain that a little bit." And that demon was questioned reluctantly. That demon admitted, he said, "But there is one place in which we can never get the seed of discouragement to take root and thrive." "Oh," he said, "well, where's that?" And the demon replied, "It's in the heart of a grateful person." Praise God. You know, it really is impossible to be at the same time anxious and grateful, proud and grateful, selfish and grateful, materialistic and grateful, boastful and grateful. You can't do that at the same time. Bitter and grateful, hateful and grateful. At the same time, no. Maybe that's why gratitude is to be one of the distinctive characteristics that sets us apart from the rest of the world. The rest of the world can be selfish and proud and materialistic and boastful and bitter and hateful. Since we've discovered that gratitude is a command, it's an act of the will, then it is something that must be embraced. It is something that must be pursued. So let's determine to follow this command. Let's all adjust our attitudes this morning as we stand together. Can you do that? Can we adjust our attitudes? And maybe we need to shout to the Lord. Maybe we need to serve Him with gladness. Maybe we need to sing with a joyful sound. Why? Because of who He is and because of what He has done. And the author says He made us and He's still making us. And in spite of everything and anything, He plans on keeping us forever. Somebody say forever. I am His. Oh, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Can you make a joyful noise one more time unto the Lord? You make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Go ahead, give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. He is worthy. He is worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Woo. Church, let's not wait for Thanksgiving Day to try and squeeze in a year's worth of gratitude. I said, let's not wait. Let's launch our Thanksgiving today, because He is good and His mercy endureth to all generations. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you slip out of your seat if you'd just come this morning? Maybe stand across this front. And let's just take a moment here and just take a praise break. Just take a moment for thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, that's it. We got any worshipers in the house? We got any praisers in the house? Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I've come to say thank you. Just like the little leper. One out of the ten come back to say thank you. And so, Lord, we're going to be that 1%. Oh, that comes back and says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Oh, that's it. I feel His presence. I feel His power. Has He blessed you? Has He made Himself known to you? Just worship Him for a few moments, church. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Ghost. How He heal me to the uttermost when I think about the Lord. How He picked me up and He turned me around. How He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and he turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, oh hallelujah, thank you Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise.